This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And here we are at it for another week in the Umpqua Valley. Lots of different things to talk about. And today, Oregon State University Extension agent Logan Bennett is in. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, Kyle. Thanks for having me.
And why don't you introduce who you brought in with you today?
Yeah, I brought Adrian Aramburu with me today. He is the president of the Umpqua Valley Beekeepers Association.
And Adrian, you were in last year talking to us about beekeepers. Thanks for coming back.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So I guess, first of all, let's talk about, Logan, some of the things you've got coming up here in the next couple months.
Yeah, so like I said last time I was here, winter actually tends to be a busy time of year. We just did a pruning class for blueberries last week, and we're kind of heading out of that season a little bit. We're kind of heading that way. But we've got a bunch coming up. So even this Wednesday, I've got a class at the DC Co-op at their swine and dine event. So I'll be talking about preparing pigs for butcher and how to compost after that.
Swine and dine.
Yeah, that's pretty funny, right?
That sounds like a dating app gone bad.
Well, there'll be a barbecue and a representative from Purina will be there. So it'll be dinner and a show.
Yeah. Again, a dating app gone bad. That's interesting. What's the level of swine activity around here?
So we don't have a lot of large hog producers around here, but there are a lot of folks that are growing one or two pigs either for their own consumption or to get custom slaughtered, that kind of stuff.
So it's more on the small side.
Yeah, a lot of what I teach around pig processing is for the farmer who's growing a pig for their own use, how do you butcher your own animal? How do you turn it into certain cuts? That kind of thing.
And I'm sure there's like a lot of rules that govern that.
Absolutely, yes. So there's a ton of rules about pig slaughter and how you can sell meat, or if you can sell meat based on how it's processed, that kind of thing.
So that class is on Wednesday, and can people still sign up for that?
Yeah, that one's at 6 p.m. at the DC Co-op, and if you want to go to that, just call the co-op and let them know you're coming, RSVP.
All right, what else do you have coming up?
So this Saturday, I'm busy this week. This Saturday, we've got a soil management class going on, and we're doing that coastal this time, so it'll be at the Winchester Bay Community Center, and there's still spots available in that class. I think it starts at 10. And we're going to be talking about how to manage your soil if you're growing crops, if you're running livestock, how to help prevent erosion, that kind of stuff. And there'll be a little bit of a focus specifically on coastal soils. They're a little different than ours. They typically have a higher aluminum content. Sometimes they're really sandy, obviously, at the coast. Those kind of things play into how do you manage your soils for erosion, crop control, and livestock management.
And obviously over there, you've got a lot higher level of precipitation.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's a lot. It's typically a lot wetter over there, and the season doesn't get as cold or as warm over there. So there's a completely different growing season on the coast than here in the valley.
And hence the crops that you can grow are different as well.
Yeah. One thing that's really cool about the coast that I don't see over here very often, if at all, is there's actually quite a few wasabi growers over there. And that's largely because of the climate. But for other crops that we're looking at, soil does play a lot into it.
Now, would this be for somebody who's got a lot of land or even just somebody with a small plot of ground?
I think it'd be helpful for both. If you're growing anything in the ground or running any kind of livestock, this would be a helpful class for you.
And what's the sign up for that?
That one is on the Douglas County website or Extension website, and I think we're charging $10, and it'll be on the Saturday the 20th from 10 to 11:30, if I remember correctly.
All right. What else is ahead?
So what I am really excited about, came to talk today with Adrian, is we have a beekeeping course coming up on February 10th, and there's going to be a whole bunch going on there. So, Adrian, you want to talk about what we're doing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this class could be for anybody. I think anybody who is new to beekeeping or has had bees or has bees and just maybe want to, you know, hone some of their skills. And that's the challenge, you know, trying to find that and balance that with anybody who wants to attend. You know, the class is going to be February 10th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Bring a lunch.
How did you get involved in beekeeping?
Had some friends of mine that I kind of grew up with that got into it, and I had something that I always wanted to do. And finally, so I joined a club, got to meet some people, really cool people, and they've kind of helped me along the way. And I got my first bees in 2020, and I've just been doing pretty well so far.
So what's involved in keeping bees? What are some of the things people need to know?
I think one of the big challenges is overwintering your bees and providing them, making sure that they have enough food and nutrition to make it through the winter. I know almost everybody that I talk to, that's one of the biggest things that comes up. Getting bees is easy. Keeping them is the challenge. We get swarm calls. You can go out, and if you have the proper equipment and a little bit of an experience, you can catch bees and move them into a hive. I think one of the biggest challenges is overwintering and keeping pests at bay. Yellow jackets can be a threat. There's the Varroa mite that is prolific in the area that we do treatments for throughout the year. To help bring those numbers down and help the bees, hopefully helping the bees, manage that better.
Now, you said yellow jackets could be a pest, and it dawns on me that the average person just sort of lumps bees all together.
That's correct. We do get quite a few calls on our business line and or swarm call, hey, I've got bees, and I'll ask them to send me a picture. And it's like, that's a paper wasp nest. There's really not a whole lot I can do. I can go remove that if you like, or you can just leave them alone and they'll be gone by wintertime. We're doing a lot of outreach programs. We're trying to break into the schools. We go into the community, do some tabling events at the fair. Oh, my gosh. At the fair and different gardening events, rather like the Lavender Festival, the Wildflower Festival. We got one coming up with the Douglas County Master Gardeners. Not until May, though, I think.
Yeah, right? It's a while from now.
Yeah, it's a little while from now. But anyway, we've got a whole bunch of things lined up, and we're just raising awareness about the honeybees. And, because, yeah, you're right. Everybody categorizes them, and we're here to try to differentiate that.
Anything kind of daunting, though, about keeping bees? I mean, the chances of me doing this is hovering around zero.
right. I know. My grandmother, she says, "You're crazy. What are you doing with all those bees?" And it's like, well, they're actually pretty sweet. Working with bees, I actually have a little story with this. Last year, this is my first hive that I got, last year I went in them at a time where yellow jackets were becoming a problem, and I didn't realize it at the time. But I went in to pull some frames for an observation hive for an event that we were holding at the farmer's market. They were doing a pollination appreciation day, and they invited us to come. Well, I went into the hive to grab a couple frames to put in this observation hive, and they were really ornery with me. They were not happy that I was there, and I was thinking, man, usually these bees are really sweet, and it turns out, as soon as I realized that they were getting attacked and they were being very defensive, as soon as I helped them with that problem, they turned right around and they were just sweet again. So it's just kind of reading that again. Bees will be bees, and I think that honeybees are just the sweetest things. I don't really know how to explain it, but
that kind of leads us back to what we're planning on doing on the 10th, which is going through those fundamentals of beekeeping and how are you appropriately keeping bees? How do you overwinter? How do you manage a hive? And when are you actually supposed to be in your beehives? When should you be just giving them nutrition versus messing with them? That kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
So, Logan, have you done beekeeping yourself?
I am not a beekeeper. I've been around bees, and I did a little bit in college, but mostly my role in this will be talking about legalities around selling honey, how to do that properly, and pesticide usage and alternatives around beekeeping. So if you keep bees and you need to spray, or if you keep bees and your neighbors spray, how do you keep your bees safe? What are considered softer pesticides? What aren't? That kind of thing.
All right, more when we come back. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1. On tomorrow's program, Douglas County Commissioner Tom Kress will be in. Give us kind of a state of the county on Tuesday's program. Today we are talking with Logan Bennett of the Oregon State University Extension Service and Adrian Aramburo, if I got that even close to right, president of the Umpqua Valley Beekeepers Association, about things that are coming up. Let's stick with the bee topic for a moment. You talked about why you like it. What are some of the downsides to keeping bees?
I would say the hardest thing with bees is waiting through the winter for that first emergence, you know, for the weather to be just right, and watching your bees, whether they're going to emerge or not. You know, hopefully you've done your winterization properly, and, you know, you've done everything that you can, and even if you do, something could have happened through the winter that you're not aware of, because you don't typically go into the hive at temperatures below 50 degrees. So it's just it's just not good for the bees, because they try to keep the hive at a temperature around 93 degrees year round, no matter what.
Now, do they essentially kind of hibernate?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, they're perennial, right? So they kind of go dormant, you know, you don't really see them a lot unless the temperature's right, the weather's right. They'll be out gathering or doing cleansing flights. They kind of ball up and with the queen in the middle of this ball inside the hive to try to keep everything warm, and then the outside layer moves inside and they just kind of circulate through, and they help move moisture through the hive or out of the hive, depending on what their needs are. And that's one of the biggest struggles with winterization is condensation. If wet bees in the wintertime are dead bees, unfortunately.
So for your association, how many people do you have involved?
Well, last year we had 63 members, if I remember correctly. This year we had our first meeting in January. We actually had 36 signups so far, which was a great turnout. I think there was more people there at the meeting, if I remember right.
We had a full house.
Yeah, it was full, and some great conversation there. You don't even have to be a part of the association to volunteer or even help the bees. If you want to help the bees, there's a lot of different ways you can do it. The Honey Bee Lab accepts donations. The Oregon State Beekeepers Association helps with donations. Or if you don't want to donate, set out a chicken waterer with some gravel in it and some water and just keep it topped up. Or I challenge you to try to keep it topped up, because if the bees find it and they like it, they'll keep coming back and draining that thing down.
Interesting. Well, we'll talk more about bees here in a bit. Logan, what else is coming up with things you have ahead?
Yeah, so last year we started a program or a series here in Douglas County called the Pavilion Series, and those are free classes on the third Thursday of the month from 10 to noon out at the Discovery Garden, and they were really well received. So we've decided to start that back up, and we'll be doing our first one on February 15th, and that's going to be with Master Gardener Bruce Gravens, and we'll be talking about starting peppers from seed. The goal there is to do a seasonally relevant class, so that's kind of where you'd start kicking off your garden. Yeah.
And you do these on Thursdays, and talk about the facility where you're at.
Yeah, so it's the third Thursday of each month from 10 to noon. And this is out at the Discovery Garden, which is 238 River Forks Park Road. And we meet in the pavilion. So if you go out to the Discovery Garden where all of our demonstrations are, in the middle of that, we've got a really nice pavilion that's got lights, and there's some sunlight that comes through, and that's where we typically meet. So whatever topic we're doing, we may stay there the whole time for a lecture, or we may go get our hands in the soil, so to say, and actually start working on whatever project we're talking about. So last year we finished off with producing garlic, and participants that came to that actually got to plant garlic beds. They were in compost, so it was sort of a mock setup, but you got to learn how to do it by actually doing it.
Cool. So do you get a lot of the same people coming to classes every month, or are you really trying to get some new people involved?
Yeah, so we get some folks that come a lot, and we're really grateful for them, but we also get a lot of new folks, and that's really awesome. We want to, you know, raise awareness of Extension and let folks who may have not worked with us or been to a class from Extension before kind of get to experience what we're up to. So the goal there is really to get as many people as we can involved.
All right, talk about some other classes that are coming up.
Yeah, so this one's a little late notice. On March 2nd, we have a mushroom producing class. We're going to be doing three different kinds of mushrooms. We'll be doing shiitake in logs. We'll be doing lion's mane in pellet blocks. And we'll be teaching folks how to use or do wine caps in straw beds. So the goal there is to teach folks how to use three different kinds of mediums to produce three different kinds of mushrooms and utilize forest resources that may not typically be considered as a resource.
So what's involved in dealing with mushrooms?
Oh, there's a lot involved in dealing with mushrooms. Depending on the species you're growing, humidity control, that kind of stuff, there's a lot to learn about production, especially when it comes to different species. The goal here is to show folks three different methods and kind of three different levels of difficulty as well. Wine caps, when we start those, once you get them going, if you keep them moist, they'll be doing really well and you'll get production relatively quickly. And with lion's mane, it's just a little bit farther up on that difficulty scale because we'll be doing a little more moisture control and the habitat they can be in is a little different. And then with shiitakes, you can get a really beautiful crop of mushrooms. You just got to pay attention to your shade, heat, and moisture control, but you'll learn all of that in the class.
And you've got a couple more classes later in the spring. Let's go over those.
Yeah, we're looking ahead, and I'm really excited about what we've got going on. Last year, I talked to a lot of growers. I did a needs assessment, and one of the things I saw coming up frequently was folks wanted to learn about cut flower operations or how to grow your own flowers for sale. So on April 13th, we're going to be doing a growing lavender class, and that's going to be with Growing Miracles Garden. We're looking at propagating lavender. How do you produce? What variety should you pick? What's the proper way to keep them in a greenhouse? When do you transplant? And when do you harvest? That kind of stuff.
And there's obviously a lot of interest in lavender, it seems like, and all the things you can do with it.
Yeah, lavender's a really versatile plant, so you got a lot of options that you can do or use it for when you grow it. And what's really cool is we're going to have a farmer-led tour there, and we're going to walk through their lavender oil facility. It's the wrong time of year to look at lavender production, but we'll see otherwise how it's done, what tools are used, that kind of thing. And everyone that comes to that class is going to leave with a lavender plant.
And you've got one more class here.
Yeah, so continuing with that cut flower theme, on May 11th, we're going to have a growing irises class out at Terringer Farms. And this one is turning into quite the event. I'm really excited about it. So we're going to be talking about producing iris plants from rhizome. So that could be for your home garden or for growing for cut plants, as Terringer does. And we're going to be looking at basically from starting from rhizome all the way to harvest. How do you do that? And what's really cool is Terringer's got just a million different kinds of irises, and they've actually bred their own varieties, so they've just got this wonderful farm to learn this kind of stuff on. And folks who come to that will be leaving with a bouquet of 12 irises. And then directly after that class, they are having an event called Bloomapalooza, which is going to be very big. They've got, I think, 5 bands coming right now, 12 vendors, and 4 food trucks or something crazy like that. And it's going to be a big celebration of spring. So tune in for that. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, real quick, Adrian, if people want to find out more about beekeeping, what's that phone number to call?
Well, you can call our business line, which is area code 541-236-5952. Meetings are free to the public. They're open to the public. You don't have to be a member. In fact, we encourage you to come.
1257.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.